That's what's happening right now. This is the Jazz Joe Hall Show on 980 CKNW.
Right now, we're in court defending our Mental Health Act itself. A lot of the authorities that we would rely on, the vast majority of them, in fact, already exist in the Mental Health Act in British Columbia. And a group is challenging that, saying it's unconstitutional, and we're in front of the court on that right now.
I'm Rob Fay. Welcome back to the Jazz Joe Hall Show, 6 minutes after four. When it comes to the topic of involuntary care for those suffering from mental challenges and those who could pose a risk to others in some cases themselves, the devil seems to be in the details of this revitalized commitment from our provincial government to hopefully get a handle on the many issues facing in all four corners of this province. Now, to talk about some of the potential hurdles that could be challenged when it comes to involuntary care is Rob Deneau, former federal crown prosecutor. He's a criminal defense lawyer and co-founder of Deneau Dhaliwal Law Group. He's also a case counsel. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good to be here, Rob.
That's a big business card, by the way.
I
want to get right into this because in most provinces, a physician can involuntarily admit somebody into hospital, but that decision needs to be confirmed by a second physician within 48 hours. BC's Mental Health Act, a little different at one point. Is this a part of the problem right now? Is we know that this has been around for years, but now that this is back in the spotlight, Rob, maybe people are starting to look at this a little different?
Well, what's interesting here is that the government is not creating any new laws other than what we already have to deal with this issue, right? So the government, as Premier Abey just stated in that statement, is relying on the existing Mental Health Act to do all the heavy lifting. So technically, police could have been acting in this manner in terms of apprehending people with mental health and addiction all along. So we have to ask ourselves, why weren't they doing this before? And we need to take a look at the Mental Health Act to do that. And there's two criteria which allow the police to apprehend someone. So number one, they have to be a danger to themselves or to somebody else. And number two, and perhaps more importantly, they have to appear to have a mental disorder. So that means that this individual is reacting somewhat strangely to other people or to their environment. So that's a pretty big question in terms of, for a police officer, how does an officer tell whether someone's acting strangely due to an addiction as opposed to a mental disorder? Right. So it's a very gray area that we're dealing with here right now.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be the problem and why there's going to be some blowback on this is because the reality is there's rights for everybody. And I guess the question for you, Rob, based on that is, does the Charter of Rights in Section 7 come into play here? Because according to the Charter, everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of the person and the right not to be deprived thereof, except in accordance with the principles of fundamental justice.
Absolutely. Well phrased and exactly right. Section 7 does apply. Anytime the police are involved, the Charter applies. And Premier Eby, in that statement that you just played, was talking about how this legislation is already being challenged by different groups. So the Charter does apply. So the issue really here is it's very simple in terms of the pros. You know, we have an argument that we have to help these people by forcing them to enter treatment because they don't have the state of mind to help themselves. And by doing so, we're helping to possibly save their lives and make the community safer. On the other hand, we have the big argument of involuntary care that we live in a democracy. The police should not be able to arrest anyone and take their freedom away if they haven't committed a crime.
And I think this is going to be the really, really breaking point between the pros and the cons in this is the fact that, you know, a lot of people will see some incidents that happen in our community and they'll be like, enough is enough. It's time that we get these people, you know, into quote unquote Riverview or an establishment where they can get the treatment that they need, whether they like it or not. But on the flip side of this, there are some rights. And I think that's abrasive to say, but that's the truth.
Well, they're not just some rights. They're the biggest rights. These are your very fundamental freedoms in terms of your liberty interests. So when you live in a democracy, you expect that the police should not be able to interfere with you unless you commit some type of crime, right? So we are talking about the biggest rights, and this legislation is already enacted, but it doesn't really specify how it's going to change anything.
Rob Deneau is a former federal crown prosecutor, criminal defense lawyer, and co-founder of Deneau Dhaliwal Law Group, joining me here on the Jazz Joe Hall Show. I was thinking about this from a different perspective. Do you think that this might scare users away from calling 911 when overdosing and authorities show up because there's a fear that there might be them taken away involuntarily?
That's a huge issue. So one of the big issues, well, there's a number. Let's just go through the cons right now, then,
yeah.
Rob. So number one, here, one of the very interesting things about what the government has said is that this involuntary care is about putting people into a facility which is adjacent to a prison. So essentially, they're opening up a facility at Surrey Pretrial and Alouette. These are both pretrial-type custody facilities. So what we're seeing here is, on the optics of it anyways, is the criminalization of addiction and mental health. So we're sending these people to prison. And what happens is that we lose trust in terms of users, and that happens in a couple of ways. Number one, addicts are... they don't want to be involved with police in the first place. But if they believe that their friend and possibly themselves in the future could be apprehended indefinitely due to police involvement, they're even less likely to involve the authorities. And that could lead to even more suffering on the streets. You can end up spending a month, 3 months, 6 months, a very long period of time, equivalent to a long jail sentence if you committed a crime, in custody due to being apprehended.
So this is much more than just the Constitution. This is essentially, a whole mindset when it comes to a community who right now is already dealing with some challenges. And now all of a sudden they see the government reactivating or at least putting this back at the forefront. And there's going to be a lot of people that are scared. They're going to want to do this in private as opposed to public, but it's not necessarily going to solve the problem.
No, far from, because studies have shown, some studies show that in terms of individuals who are apprehended forcefully, they're even more likely to overdose after their apprehension and release. Another study has shown that the increased risk of suicide increases by a factor of 44, which means you're 44 more times likely to commit suicide due to the stigma and trauma associated with forced apprehension. Because the people that these experts talk to, they describe this as almost torture, as akin to rape. So this is a very serious, has a very serious effect on individuals who are apprehended.
Rob, what do you say to the people on the other side of the coin here that are like, look, man, get these people out of my neighborhoods, get these people out of my society, lock them up and throw away the key? What do you say to people like that?
Well, we have to take a look at the cost-benefit analysis. So on the one hand, we are sacrificing our basic liberty, and it's a slippery slope. So we're not just right now, we're focusing on homeless people and mental health and addiction, the stuff that we're seeing on streets. However, if you open up the door, the definition as to who can be apprehended, there's nothing preventing a family member from calling police to someone to have someone apprehended within their own home. So you could have a family who loves their loved one, wants to get them help. On the other hand, it can be abused and it can be weaponized to send somebody into an institution.
And that's going to be Rob, if I'm hearing it right, that's where the gray area comes into, is in the fact that it can be a tool for the positive, but at the same time, this could be a tool that, if not used correctly, could actually hurt someone.
Well, it's all gray right now, because what the government has said is that they're essentially putting the cart before the horse. They don't even know how the Mental Health Act would apply to these people, Rob. So They've said that they're relying on Dr. Vigo, who's BC's first ever chief scientific officer for psychiatry, addiction, and related disorders, to tell the government how he believes the Mental Health Act can be used against those who are suffering from mental health and addiction. So Dr. Vigo is a doctor. He's not a lawyer. So right now, the government itself does not know what they're doing or how it will apply.
Isn't that interesting? Do you think that maybe this announcement was rushed because of the feedback we've gotten in the community and the election looming? Like, let's just call it what it is. Is this timed more for votes than it is reality?
As always, timing is everything in life and legislation. So this is a huge announcement. It impacts our very freedoms. And it's announced just before the provincial election, which is neck and neck between the NDP and the Conservatives, where crime, mental health, and addiction are huge issues. And they say that politics makes for odd bedfellows, but Premier Eby and Mr. Rustad right now are on the same side of the fence on this issue, which is fascinating.
Interesting. Rob, thank you for your insight today. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Rob Deneau, former federal Crown prosecutor, criminal defense lawyer, and a co-founder of Deneau Dhaliwal Law Group. All right, let's open up the phones at 604-280-9898. I don't think it'll take long to fill up the boards on this one. What do you think of what you've just heard? David Eby steps behind the podium and says, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do the involuntary care. Rob Deneau just came on and said, listen, this has been around the whole time. The police just haven't implemented it. And the other part of the equation is, it's going to get challenged in court. And the problem is, if the government doesn't have all their ducks in a row on this, this could be a problem for them. But again, we'll get that announcement on the other side of the election. So I'd love to hear from you. 604-280-9898. Your call's next.
In 100 meters, turn right. Actually, no. Turn left. There's some awesome new breakfast wraps at McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah. There's the sausage, bacon, and egg. A crispy seasoned chicken one. Mmm. A spicy end egg. Worth the detour.
They sound amazing.
Bet they taste amazing, too. Wish I had a mouth. Take your morning into a delicious new direction with McDonald's new breakfast wraps. Add a small premium roast coffee for $1 plus tax. At participating McDonald's restaurants. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
980 CKNW traffic.
Major delays for a single vehicle crash in Delta, southbound on Highway 99, just before Ladner Trunk Road. The left lane is blocked, so traffic is squeezing by in just a single lane. Also, watch out for a crash in Burnaby, eastbound on Highway 1 at Kensington. The left and HOV lanes are blocked, and delays are back all the way over the Ironworkers Memorial Bridge to Lonsdale. Today at Shoppers Drug Mart, open your PC Optimum app, shop your offer on beauty, and earn 30,000 points at $30 value. Conditions in app. In the CKNW traffic eye in the sky, I'm Trish Jewison.
Today at Shoppers Drug Mart, open your PC Optimum app, shop your offer on beauty, and earn 30,000 points, a $30 value. Conditions in app.
Hi, I'm John McComb, and we're here with Lori Pinkowski, a senior portfolio manager at CG Wealth Management. Any business owner knows that achieving your dreams requires a lot of preparation and hard work. When it comes to planning your retirement, it is the same thing.
That's right, John. It's never too early for business owners to start thinking about their end game. After all, you eventually want to enjoy everything you've worked so hard for, and there's a lot to consider.
On today's Financial Tip, we'll be talking about retirement planning for business owners. Lori, what are the steps for preparing for the transition from being an entrepreneur to a retiree?
Well, have a financial plan and also start planning early. For many business owners, the sale of their company is their retirement plan. The earlier you start thinking about the transition, the better. Typically, 3 to 5 years is enough time to organize a smooth transition and plan ahead to minimize tax. Consider what kind of future you want for your business. Do you want to transfer or sell the business to a family member? Are you going to sell to a business partner or an employee? Or you also have the option, of course, of selling to a third party. Knowing the current value of your business helps determine if you're on track to meet your retirement goals. An accountant or third-party evaluator can help.
Those are great tips, Lori, but how does an entrepreneur even get started on the process?
Definitely by building the right team. You want a good financial advisor, a qualified accountant, a great lawyer, and also a financial planner. We often work with a team of professionals to really ensure our clients receive the best advice possible.
Start working toward your financial goals today with Lori and her team. Contact them to learn more at pinkowski.ca or call 604-695-5674. That's 604-695-LORI.
Hey there. It's your friends from Toyota. We see you eyeing that Tundra. Already picturing yourself hauling so much firewood that your chainsaw's hiding behind the shed. It's time to stop dreaming about that new Toyota and start driving one. Lease a 2024 Tundra 4x4 Crewmax TRD Off-Road from $169 weekly for 60 months at 4.99% with $5,600 down. Visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer today.
BC Children's Hospital Dream Lottery. Deadline is Friday for the largest bonus in the history of Dream Lottery. Don't wait. Tickets at Save on Foods. 19 plus to play. Know your limit. Play within it.
You're listening to the Jazz Joe Hall Show on 980 CKNW.
19 minutes after 4, Rob Fain for Jazz. Welcome back to the program. I understand the thought of involuntary care treatment for those who truly need help, but I wanted to talk about the realities of this announcement so that we don't get our hopes up and solely hear about just the pros. There's a lot of work right now to ensure that the wording, the details, the fine print is all tightened up so that these people identified to have these challenges don't fall through the cracks. Let's go to the phones. Full boards right now. We'll start in Langley with Jeff. Jeff, what are your thoughts on all this?
You know, I just have a question. I'm a little alarmed that you're using words like incarceration, and then you allowed that guest to say akin to rape. I mean, I just think that's over the top, but that's clearly someone who's got an ideological bent. You know, unfortunately, that's what I do find that you do that often is you'll bring in people that agree with your opinions and then ask them leading questions. So it's a little bit disingenuous.
I haven't even given my opinion yet, Jeff.
Well, it's pretty clear when you're talking about it.
Well, that's an assumption, Jeff. That's an assumption. I was going to wait for you to have your say before I had mine.
Your other segments are the exact same.
I haven't even talked about it until this segment. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Much appreciated. Let's go to Stephen in Burnaby. Stephen, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm absolutely in favor of some involuntary care. I mean, it's cruel to leave people out like this. They are not capable of taking care of themselves. And there is the idea that somehow, just some way that they're going to change is just such a far-fetched fairy tale that it's just silliness. It's not good for society. It's not good for the people that are out there. We have to sort people into an ability to either take care of themselves or not. And I think the government, and maybe the new government that's coming in, is just listening to their constituents.
All right, thanks for the call, Stephen. I'd let you run a little bit longer if I didn't have full board, so I'm going to go straight back to Vancouver. Richard, good afternoon. Richard, what are your thoughts on this involuntary care, the pros, the cons, the good, the bad?
Well, I knew right away. I was, you know, momentarily ecstatic, but knowing the bleeding hearts out there and all these advocates, that this is going to be a difficult process. You know, what I don't understand is why does the silent majority, like people like myself, you know, the taxpayer who's paid for the care of these people, like, why don't we have a say? Like, if I have a child living under my roof and they want me to support them, yeah, they got to live by my rules. Okay, so where's my rights in all this? I mean, these people are a drag on society. They're a menace to themselves, a menace to other people. They need to be incarcerated to get the help they need, because otherwise the other call is right. They're never going to seek help. They are incapable. And by the very nature of the fact they're drugged out, they're not in command of their own self. So, yeah, just cut the bleeding heart. Let's just make the society safe after all this.
Thank you, Richard. You know, here's what I will say before we get to the next call, is I brought this segment up from this perspective, not to give you mine necessarily, but just to make sure that you understand both sides of this equation here. It's easy to get behind the podium and suggest this is what we're going to do, and we're going to clamp down and use all those hard words, those trigger button words that make sure that you understand that they're serious and they're going to talk tough. But you have to remember that there's a Charter of Rights. You have to remember that these people have rights. And I think the hard thing to digest here is the word involuntary, because that brings a lot of things into the equation. If this was voluntary, I don't think you'd have any problems at all getting a lot of people on board. But when you take the rights away of even somebody who's struggling, that changes the dynamic completely. So if you want to take shots at me on a Monday afternoon because you think that I'm bleeding heart or I'm too polarizing, cool, that's fine. But the reality is I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't show you the other side of the coin here, in the fact that it's not just the garble that you hear from a politician behind the podium. It's the realities of the rights of everybody. And maybe that's hard for you to accept, but I want to give you both sides of this equation. To Abbotsford we go. George, good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me my say. What's yours?
Hey, Rob, perfect timing. As you do these fill-in shows, one of your strengths is your neutrality. And I commend you for that. And I'm one that believes you deserve your own show. But let's leave it to this. I want to say that, oh, my God, these announcements from Premier Eby, a gentleman who openly mocked the Conservatives 4 months ago, laughed in their face, is now laying awake at night, realizing he may just lose this election. And my last point is, I could not believe his press conference quote in this morning. As he said, he all of a sudden became increasingly concerned about the problems on the street with crime and drug addiction. Are you kidding me?
All right. Thank you, George. Here's what I will say, and this came up from Rob Danu, and he's a federal former prosecutor. I mean, I'm going to take his word for it. He says, listen, this has been here the whole time. There's nothing new that David Eby's coming to the table with. But again, you're close to an election. It's great to kind of push this back to the spotlight. But the reality is this opportunity for law enforcement and everybody in healthcare has been there the whole time. So why all of a sudden now is it at the front of our conversation? Because you know what's looming on the other side of this month. Let's go to David in Mission. David, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, we have to do something, and there are those that need the kind of intervention.
That's fair.
So I have compassion for that, but I'm also a veteran that served, and I get a little nervous about the rights of people and just a very ill-conceived, and when you look at the decriminalization, there was no consultation with the police of British Columbia. They were told, tomorrow it's decriminalized, kind of a thing.
Yep.
That's not how you do that. And like you say, there's an election, and there's they're shooting everything they can, but this is ridiculous.
All right. Thank you for the phone call. James, I wish I could have got to you. I'm going to have to wait for the other segment to do that. If you want to hit me up on the Buzz line, 604-331-2899. I will open up the phones, by the way, again.